are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
He must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the gladiators hopple, aren't he, with the left forearm. It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
The crowd love it. They've all taken their angry pills. Smashes him to ground. The one-handed pass back inside.
The delicate kick.
And he smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early. Thank you, Mrs. Robinson. Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the bird.
He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there. And the crowd's starting to go wild. Intercepted. Shows it. Goes outside. Then steps again. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try. Yes, it's a try. It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris and
Chris Gayle.
As they fire up.
Well, Chris, it's a brave new world. I think nothing will ever be the same again after what's happened in Las Vegas and marketing, hyperbole, a whole new world of cliches. Overblown, completely and utterly. I don't think anything was left untouched, untapped. And if there is such a thing as a hangover, I think it's a good hangover this week.
I don't know if there's such a thing as a good hangover, Stephen, because I never get hangovers. But look, I'm just reflecting on what we've all experienced or witnessed. And I look back over my own life, Stephen, and it's abstract disappointment or abject disappointment. But I remember events, significant events, moments in time, moments in history,
yes,
or as Brayton Astor so beautifully put it during the coverage, rugby league is a game of moments. I think about when humans first trod on the lunar surface back in 1969 and I bore witness.
Yes.
I remember down being in Prince Alfred Park with the result of the same-sex plebiscite in 2018, I want to say.
Yes.
Maybe 17, late 17. But we were able to bear witness on the weekend, Stephen, to a moment...
something as grand as those.
A moment in time.
Moment as important as when John Lennon was shot.
Exactly. Genre-shattering.
Okay.
A historic, incredible moment for all Australians, and that is the return of Paul Kent to rugby league television.
Woohoo! Fantastic. And just suddenly he was there, and the world was right again on its axis.
No explanation required.
No required.
Just exactly right. The Earth back on its gyroscope. We're orbiting the sun. As sure as night follows day, Kenty is back.
Does he need to be new and improved, or is he pretty good as he was?
Look, can I just say I saw a bit of humility, a la the Sydney Roosters.
Yes, yes.
A bit of chastening.
Yes.
And I love the yin and the yang of the sort of the white sports coat that Braith was sporting, a la Rat Pack style.
Right.
And the very, very somber, dark tones enveloping Paul Kent.
Well, I hope he can lighten up, and I hope he can get his sense of humour back, and we do
hang
feel
on,
for
back.
Him. Back. Now, Vegas, Chris, is mythological, right? It was basically a land of dirt and sand, right? Much like the moon, right? When it was discovered, right? When the mob walked in there and went, hang on a second, Nevada, we can do something here, you know? Then after many attempts, and then, of course, getting Frank Sinatra in, there wasn't enough Frank Sinatra for my liking.
Well, I mean, someone in the Fox Sports lab, as they like to call it, is just like I was after I got my knees replaced with a fentanyl pump. Every 5 minutes was just hitting Elvis.
Beep.
Elvis.
Beep.
Elvis.
Beep.
But you did see Las Vegas. It's very reminiscent of Palm Springs with, you know, the hills of the Nevada surrounding it.
Yes, yes.
And it is a lunar landscape, Stephen. And, of course, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I was meant to be there.
That's
but
right.
I wasn't there.
And how are you feeling about that?
Look, I'm
disappointed. Well, we at Fire Up are disappointed. The lab here, very disappointed.
You're disappointed. I felt I let the team down, all the hardworking staff here.
Yes.
I mean, they sent me on a mission and I failed. And there's one very clear reason I'd like to share with everyone why I failed. I got all the way to US Customs when my ESTA was in order.
Yeah.
I was then asked to swear a pledge of allegiance to Peter Volandis.
Oh.
And I was unable to do that and was returned on the very next non-Dreamliner.
Is it now called Viva Los Volandis?
That's exactly
right.
Viva La Volandis.
Yeah.
Well. Los Volandis. It's got a It's got a certain ring to it, doesn't it?
Sure, it certainly does. And he needs a new suit, though.
Does he? I think that's part of his everyman shtick.
It's a bit of a dazzling Steven. Wouldn't hurt, Chris.
Yeah. I mean, a bit of rhinestone, perhaps.
Rhinestone, exactly. Let's face it. Everyone's bowing down at the altar at Peter Vlahos now, except, of course, one man, Peter Fitzsimons.
Oh, I mean, of course, I was, you know, otherwise engaged flying back as Fitzsimons had some negative words to say.
Well, I'd call it a rant, Chris. Las Vegas. I think the NRL opening round is this weekend. Yes, he's been funny, right? If only there'd been a little bit more coverage. Oh, irony, you know. Look, to say the obvious, the exercise already seems to be a broad success, so he gives it away. But then the boot comes out. The poison knife, everything comes out straight away, you know. I think he's accused of being overblown, I think. And he likens it to Rebo's exercise into China and the claims how big it would be. Well, I think Peter Fitzsimons might be eating some what pie next week, Chris?
Yeah, look, first of all, I thought that the whole thing was done with class and taste and was somewhat understated, Stephen, as we might explore a little bit later. It has been pointed out, of course, that the broadcast on Fox Sports 1 in the United States was delayed because of a college basketball game that went to overtime.
Yeah, that puts you in your place, doesn't it?
Yeah, which punted a rugby union piece of coverage to the Fox Sports app, which, let's face it, nobody saw.
Right.
And it's really sour grapes from Peter Fitzsimons because...
Showing his colours, really, isn't he?
Because it's well known the Australian Rugby Union made a bid for Las Vegas... And they were offered the equivalent of off Broadway somewhere out in the Nevada desert in a 5,000 capacity stadium.
Yeah, well, I think they had the backing, didn't they, of the Nevada Tourism Division?
Yes.
Funding was provided on a 5-year deal, maybe more. And I've seen a few American correspondents saying, look, if you really want to do it, you just can't come for one weekend for one night. You need to put a bit more work in. I don't know what work they can put in after that.
Well, it'll all be about the ratings, Stephen, and we go to air on this podcast not knowing what the ratings are. And if they're good, we'll hear more about it. If they're not so good, we'll hear less about it. But it's a 5-year haul. Peter Vlahos is committed. The game is committed. I mean, there's even talk of a rugby league franchise, dare I say it, partially based in Las Vegas this morning.
Really?
Forget your Perth Bears.
Could it not be the Papua New Guinea, Las Vegas hybrid?
Well, could they be the Across the Pacifica Bears that play at North Sydney Oval?
Yes, once.
Port Moresby.
Once.
And Las Vegas.
Yes, great.
Now, that's a lot of travel for the home team, but it got to be worth it.
Now, I think the thing that was disappointing for me was that having not had you there to report back, we were reliant upon the game day experience, which is pretty much like it always, nothing changed. So like they do on the grand final, you don't see the entertainment unless it's just one song or two songs maybe. You miss all the halftime extras. And so all we got were three blokes looking like they're straight out of Tron or Daft Punk video gone wrong, right? Banging drums, correct?
Now, I want to be relentlessly positive because basically you're under threat of expulsion and refusal of entry at any ground this year if you criticise the event. But I was a little disappointed with the pregame entertainment. As you said, there were three guys with fluoro drummers, which looked like they'd just been taken from a local Las Vegas high school and said, fellas, get on there. Yes. And apart from that, the only other pregame I saw was Fletcher and Hindy trying to recreate the Mahomes pass to win
and
the Super Bowl.
Couldn't you see a snap groin coming from that exercise? Running around in their nice shoes?
It's as I said, it seemed classy, tasteful, and a little underproduced. Yes.
Now, going back in time a little bit, it wasn't on the strip, but a little place called the Fremont Street Experience. They did the launch, I suppose, the yearly launch, which is really, why not do it in Vegas? That sort of showed you some sense of fun and excitement. Diamond building and Aussie fans going stupid. We wanted to see more of that, didn't we?
Everyone says what an incredible experience it was. The original crowd estimate was 20,000, got revised down to 5. From what I could tell, it was basically the four teams arrived, walked down a red carpet, Reece Walsh puts a Broncos scarf on PVL.
Yes.
Your mates, the Stafford brothers, were playing and a couple of TV celebrities got up on the stage. Yeah. That was the Fremont experience, but...
Yeah. It was Bono?
Yeah. Madonna?
No, Lady Gaga?
Yeah, Dave Matthews?
No, anybody?
They're all in town, but not at the Fremont Street Experience. But look, it's hard to convey how exciting it was if you're not there. And that all sounds fairly pedestrian, but what really obviously got the crowd going was the four mascots in by flying
fox. Reggie was a bit late because he'd been at a wedding, right?
Yeah.
He got roped in.
He actually walked a bride down the aisle at one of the Vegas chapels, and then 79-year-old Charlie Gallico, get on the flying fox, son, do this for rugby league.
Because I think the bride wanted Mike Tyson, his tiger, couldn't get them booked in, so Reggie the rabbit will have to do nearly as fierce.
Well, if we remember when Hugh Jackman, who unfortunately due to private circumstances, and we don't want to pry,
Isn't that a PR marketer's funny skill set?
Yeah.
Don't pry. It's too private.
Thankfully, Gus Wallen was able to say, because you may not know this, but Gus, personal friend of Hugh Jackman's.
Stepped in, did he?
Yes, he stepped in and said, look, unfortunately, Hugh's got some private...
Was he wearing the claws on his fingers?
Private matters.
And the hair on his face?
But remember what happened to Jackman when he rappelled in at Oprah down at the Opera House?
Yeah. And all got tangled up.
Is there such a thing as mascot insurance?
Right.
Because I hope
well,
it was
79, Chris.
What a trooper.
Yeah.
No wonder the NRL said it only cost them $2 million.
Yeah.
I mean, people basically paid their own way.
But the mood of the players seemed to be up. I know that Vossi was getting some good feedback from a lot of players.
Was he?
Yeah. And Vossi was loving it. I mean, he loved every single minute of it. And he had facts. He had old players, like an old Dragon player that was over there stepping up rugby league locally as well.
Oh, David New.
That's right, David New. That's right.
What a beautiful story that was. Yeah. David New, who played a little bit of rugby league for the St. George Dragons before they merged with Illawarra.
Yes.
And he was on a Hawaii beach and met a young woman, and 2 weeks later they were married.
Love of his life.
Yeah, that's what rugby league will do to you. Put you in a very rash decision. Yeah. They say that league players are risk takers naturally, and that sounds like a huge risk, but they're still together.
Yes. Now, some of them were overawed. I know some of them have sort of, you know, like, you know, done this, been here before, you know, we've had our, you know, Monday mad blowout. But Sean Kepi.
Yes.
Now, there's a breath of fresh air if I've ever heard it, Chris.
Kepi, who was interesting because he sort of had played for the Manly Warringah Seagulls the previous season, Stephen, and he's gone across to the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Just one of those examples, a little bit like Jeff Gerrard of just...
Can we keep up?
Just changing teams at the wrong time.
Is that Nathan Brown from Parramatta? Oh, yes, it is. He's playing for a different team now.
From West Tigers, from South?
Yeah. No, I think he gets jettisoned, doesn't he, because of, you know, head-high hits, etc.
Anyway, so Kepi was just saying, like, I would never imagine that rugby league would be this passport to international pleasure.
And he used his passport.
He did.
Yeah.
And he said, this is... The third country that I've been to.
Stamped.
If you consider Australia as being one of
them. But Australia doesn't put a stamp in, does it?
It's a little bit like, is the centenary of rugby league actually its 100th year, not 2007?
Yes.
Or is it 2008?
Oh,
that's the
Chris,
thing.
The
Has he been to two countries or three?
Yes. Okay. Now, of course, then arrived the winds. The desert winds. Apparently they're so ferocious that all flights had to be stopped.
Ooh.
So yeah, you're indoors or you couldn't get in. You were being blown down the street. Suddenly you end up at the Sphere instead of Allegiant Stadium because you missed it by 200 metres, right, because of the wind. But that didn't stop Adam Reynolds, did it?
No.
Adam Reynolds came out in the field like all good kickers and catchers, and he decided to pick up some grass, though it was fake, I'm assuming, and throw it in the air to see which way the wind blows.
One of the promises he made to the Broncos when he signed his contract extension, he said, I will not only know every blade of grass on Suncorp Stadium, I'll know every blade of grass on Allegiant Stadium.
Yes.
And he lived up to his promise. I was very disappointed about that huge windstorm, Stephen, because it affected the tailgate party.
That's right.
There was none.
Yeah.
Though a friend of the show, Peter Burke from Travellers Autobahn, had two customised South Sydney vans out there attempting a tailgate party on their own. Wasn't well attended.
Australian traditions, Chris. You may remember, I think it was Russell Packer who decided to urinate on Suncorp Stadium.
Yes.
To bless the sacred ground. Did anybody attempt such a thing? Was Matt Lodge there?
Don McKinnon, of
anybody?
No. Well, again, there was a surprising lack of ritual. I mean, I think, I guess one disappointing aspect for us is that, you know, there was a lot of, I'm struggling to remember what the promo thing, something about know something or other, but yeah, there was a lot of emphasis on that.
No pads.
Yeah.
No helmets, no fear, no timeouts, no celebrities.
No originality.
No.
But, like, there wasn't enough of the fabric of rugby league that distinguishes it from other sports, Stephen.
Right,
and urinating during game play is a fundamental, and that could have been celebrated.
Would that not have captured the attention of the worldwide media?
I mean, it's one thing to have endless highlights of big hits and wingers elasticising themselves around corner posts, but just can you imagine sort of like the Carney images and the, you know, the Julian O'Neill images could have been brutal.
Now we mentioned celebrities. Tim Zoo, he was there.
Well, this is a really interesting point, Stephen, because Buzz Rothfield described it as a hoo-hoo of celebrities.
Okay.
Right? Let me list the celebrities.
Yes.
Lachlan and Sarah Murdoch.
Yes.
Chief executive of News Corp, Robert Thompson. Who?
Who? Yeah.
Former US Ambassador to Australia, John Berry. Who?
Yeah.
Where was Caroline Kennedy?
Exactly.
No Jackman, as we mentioned. No Crow off shooting post-Exorcist.
Crow did his work, but couldn't make it.
Yep, that's right. Okay. There were a couple of Los Angeles Rams, who are football players, okay. who where the Broncos, I think, okay. had been stationed. And Tim Zoo, there was a surprising lack of celebrity, Stephen, we thought. But the NRL's got all the bases covered, Stephen, because mm-hmm. they revealed that a number of celebrities bought their tickets on the specific proviso that their identity not be revealed. Which seems to...
Yeah, they hate publicity.
They just don't want to be in the public... They just want to and enjoy the footy.
But we got the head of media companies that were involved, didn't we? Patrick Delaney from Fox. Didn't we get him?
Yeah, well, this was something that I thought left a bit of a bitter taste in people's mouths.
Mr. Steesby?
Yeah, so the Manly South game, Foxtel boss Patrick Delaney tossed the coin.
Yeah, yeah.
Mike Sneesby for Nine for, I guess it was the main event, the Roosters and Broncos.
Yes, yes.
What we needed...
I own this, you own that.
That's right. Whereas you think it should be a couple of ordinary Australians out there tossing the coins.
Well, what about Rupert Murdoch?
Rupert Murdoch
on a golf cart
and James Packer on behalf of his father.
What do you reckon?
That's Australian. Now, that's what should have happened.
I'm thinking, well, obviously Kylie bailed the town, didn't she?
Well, look, so I'm assuming that Kylie was one of the celebrities who said, look, I just want to enjoy the football. I don't want endless Taylor Swift images of me, you know, downing a schooner.
This is Kylie unlucky in love, right?
When Richie Kenner scores a try. Yeah. Kylie had actually done a specific deal. She said, I will scull something if Richie Kenner scores a try, never expecting it to happen.
She said that.
Yeah.
And then she went to the Brit Awards and they said, what about a shoey? And she had to do it.
This is. I mean, I don't want to be...
Where is this an Aussie tradition?
You really want me to go into it?
Do I?
It's a motor racing thing, Steve. And so many people are claiming origin of the shoey, but now it's ubiquitous. And, you know, I am not criticising the National Rugby League. I'm not criticising the Australian Rugby League Commission. But how is it that Kylie is doing a shoey over at the Brit Awards at the very moment that Tom Trbojevic is chiming into the back line in Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas? This is a huge missed opportunity because she's resident in Vegas, Stephen.
Yes. Can I... One word, Chris. Melbourne. She's a resident. She doesn't understand. Get it.
Yeah, and Melbourne doesn't have a team.
Now, that leads us, of course, to any other instance before the game actually started, Chris?
Well, that was the thing, Stephen. There really, really wasn't. I thought there was a lack of fanfare.
Yeah.
It was the Rugby League relying on the game as the product. It's an unusual approach. It's not one I would have expected.
And it was a day of four halves.
Yeah, it was very much a day of four halves. I mean, there were certain things that caught my attention during the coverage, Stephen.
Yes.
Before we turned to the games. I mean, the indoor pyro sort of gave everything a sort of... You know what they were evoking there? What the gaming rooms used to be like at the Flamingo Hilton or whatever.
When everybody smoked.
Just choking with smoke.
Because we thought it was our coverage, you know. Why is it so murky? I can't see a damn thing. Because it's indoors and there's no air conditioning. Apparently, no fans.
Despite Adam Reynolds trying to see which way the wind was blowing by throwing it across. I believe you actually went blue screen at one stage.
We did. We went blue screen to death a couple of times.
That was actually a promotion for the Blue Man Group show that was on at the Luxor Hotel.
Is that right? I tell you what, though, it's already kicked up our premier to say that, well, maybe we'll build a roof over a core stadium. So they should.
Well, yeah, you would have thought maybe Allianz might have been
first dibs.
You would think being slightly newer. I mean, it feels
once
a bit...
Taylor hit town, it changed all the rules, didn't it?
Well, how many Taylors are we going to get, Stephen?
I know.
I mean, how many Taylors are we going to get?
Not even AC/DC or Paul McCartney could match that, I'm sure.
No, they wouldn't pull four.
No, four. Acres. No.
But, you know, the one thing I do want to dwell on about the game day experience, Stephen, before we get into the games, and I know you don't want me to do this, but the music, Stephen. I mean, it's one thing
I tried to tune out, Chris.
There's one thing that I was refused entry into the country, but you were not invited. First of all, to our mate Steve Allen, people were saying that there was a fatherly American voice which you could hear doing the PA. The guy clearly knew nothing about the game.
Do you think he knew how to translate?
No.
Like, that looks like a try, but in actual fact, it's something else.
Yeah. But the game day music, Stephen.
Yeah.
I mean, it started off with Born in the USA, right, which is...
Really?
Pretty straightforward. But all the favourites came out, Stephen.
Not down at work, Men at Work Down Under?
Yes, that got a run.
You're the voice?
Absolutely.
Okay. I bet Tina Arena was missed out.
Tina Arena was missed out. That would have been a refreshing change.
Refreshing change.
Of course, Sweet Caroline, inevitable.
Don't say it, Chris.
Victor Radley was saying, and we'll talk about this later, he couldn't hear what Robbo was saying in the rooms because they were pumping the horses full volume.
Oh, my God. God.
But tell me this, Stephen.
And no INXS? What about Akadaka? Surely they will that Akadaka.
Look, I think Thunderstruck might have got a bit of a run. Okay, but, okay. Why not go deep in the catalogue? But the thing that I want your comment on, at the 60-minute mark let's face it, the curtain raiser, Manly versus Souths, the best by Tina Turner.
That's what I was gobsmacked, Chris. You're the voice. You're the voice. Should only ever be like it's like
the best.
The red button moment, you know.
Yeah, the best.
When is the peak? When are we celebrating everything that's great about the sport?
It's canon, Steve.
Bam! You don't throw it into a game willy nilly randomly, Chris, because you might only get two bars.
10 seconds of Tina.
10 seconds. Yeah.
Is really, really hurting. And one of the constant bits of feedback I've heard from the American crowd, not so sure about the music.
Right, okay. Now, we did talk about, the origins of Vegas, of course, and the mob and then the Rat Pack. And they brought in Frank and Dino, et cetera, Peter Lawford and Sammy Davis Jr. I heard none of that.
None of it.
None of that at all.
Where was the panache?
You know.
Where was the glitter strip stuff, Stephen?
Yes, what about Dunkerstein?
Where were the ghosts of Siegfried and Roy?
Yeah, Wayne Newton.
He's still going.
Bobby Darin. Humble the irresponsible. You know, Dino. Ain't that a kick in the head?
Phyllis Diller.
Come on now. Yeah.
I mean, that's Vegas.
Peggy Lee. Yeah. What's going on? What's going on? So the music, okay, you're listening. I tried to tune out. I could just hear some blurry noises, and that was enough for me. Did I hear enough Elvis?
Yeah, you heard enough Elvis.
Yes.
Yeah, you heard enough Elvis.
Okay. Was Baz Luhrmann anywhere to be seen?
Well, again, I wouldn't have minded a little bit of Baz.
Yes.
Because he's, explored the Elvis mythos, I thought, quite professionally and incisively. Yeah. And why couldn't they have got Austin Butler? I mean, where was something descending from the ceiling? I mean, they had the roof.
Yeah.
Something should have descended from it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, all we got was a couple of bungers that went off, smoked the joint up.
Yeah.
And no music, no entertainment.
Well, Chris, you're denying yourself something here. There are two brothers.
Oh.
Human Nature.
Ah.
National Anthem. Heavens. Come on. Now, I was hoping for Mick Dundee to do the coin throw with a knife. Not to be.
Yeah, and, some heartwarming tribute to Olivia Newton-John, because that defines Australia and American eyes, Stephen.
Yes, can you imagine that magic?
Yeah,
Xanadu.
We haven't been able to find the next personalities. So what we've come up with is Patrick Delaney and Mike Sneesby.
As they keep saying, Chris, toes in the water.
Well, that's right. It's
toes in the water.
Stephen, this is a phrase that I've actually coined. I've trademarked it.
Have you just?
You're happy to use it?
Yeah. Next year we go deeper.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Okay. Do you want to talk about the game?
Why not?
Okay, well, go for it. Manly South, what do you think?
Curtain raiser.
Yeah, curtain
raiser. I was, busy sort of making popcorn and...
Your bloke Luke Brooks, how'd he go?
9 out of 10, Stephen.
Nine out of ten.
I'm very happy for the kid.
Yeah. Threw one bum pass, but scored a try.
Yeah, dropped the ball over the line.
Yeah.
Latrell knocked it out of his mitts. But I think Luke Brooks said, rugby league is a game I want to stay in. The Tigers gave me a barbecue after 11 hard years of service.
That's right.
There's more to be done.
Did he take it over?
Well, that's actually...
Tailgating?
There was a lot of talk after the games that you had your choice of Ludacris, the chain smokers, or in the Broncos case, they had a drink in the bar. But actually, the Manly guys got together over Luke's Weber and celebrated
the
win.
Tossed a few chops.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look, I thought it was, can I say, a back and forth affair, Stephen?
Yes.
And
we love an intercept try.
Yes, Saab off Latrell.
And we love a pulled hammy. In an enemy team, Jason Saab again.
Well, again, I don't know if you picked it up on the audio, but when Saab did his hammy about 4 minutes from full time, there was a sort of some flashing lights and a siren.
Yes.
That was Billy Knowles from Philadelphia firing up the ambulance, because that's what he is.
So he was out the front in 4 minutes.
Ambulance chaser. Yeah.
So do they detach the hammy, right?
That's right.
So they can book him in. We can't do it right now. Just put it in a jar, Futurama style.
Yes.
I'll get to it. You go home without your hammy, and I'll send it back.
And that was why it was so comforting for Jason to have Latrell Mitchell, albeit opposition, but there was not always common ground in the games, but there was common ground between the two teams. And Latrell said, look, I've been through this.
Mm-hmm.
You'll come back bigger and better. Look at how great I am. Look at my brutality, as Braith kept highlighting Latrell's brutality.
Well, the Americans did love that. They got that.
Yeah, and let's face it, you've got incredible medical facilities in a place like Las Vegas. Unfortunately for Jason, it will cost him north of $250,000.
An arm and a leg.
And a hammy.
Two legs or one hammy. Look, and what really came home, Chris, was that for all the excitement, it's a long way to go to lose. Isn't it? Imagine being on the plane with Cody Walker in the red mist. Hey, imagine that.
The red mist was just descending on Cody the whole time. Probably shouldn't have played the calf. And it's a hell of a long way. It's not exactly just going down to... Acor to see a team lose.
But nice to see it, the whole crowd at Allegiant going, rabbit all, close prop. Fire up. Back in a moment for the second game.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea. It lingered there to touch your hair and walk with me. All summer long we sang a song, and then we strolled that golden sand. Two sweethearts and the summer wind.
Back with Fire Up. This is our second go at this year, Chris, 2024 Fire Up. Chris Gunn, myself, Stephen Ferris here. Third.
We had a summer special, Stephen.
We had the summer special, of course, yes. We're the pre-Vegas show.
That's right.
The post-Vegas show. And I'm suffering no hangover whatsoever, Chris.
Is this our last show? I mean, now the Vegas now is done. The rest just seems like meaningless, doesn't it?
So it was a doubleheader, as they say, a day of four halves. The second one, Sydney Roosters, who claimed to be, of course, the American team because of the colours, and the Brisbane Broncos, who sadly missed the premiership by 15 minutes. It's a fine work last year.
Yes, that's very true, Stephen. And that, again, we're talking about the across the Pacific of Bears playing in North Sydney, Port Moresby and Las Vegas.
Right.
But I felt a bit of a groundswell from some of the established teams that are already there. I mean, Nick Politis was very keen to point out that they are the red, white and bluesters, a la the United States of American colours. But Scott Penn, who...
Manly's owner.
Yes.
Yes.
Who likened Daly Cherry Evans to David Beckham.
Oh.
How about a four-part Netflix series
on that good looking?
History of DCE.
Is he?
I don't know. And who plays Posh? But Scott Penn said... I believe that we are America's team because the man's an innovator, Stephen.
Yes.
He goes, because guess what? We're the American Sea Eagles.
Oh, just that easy, is it?
And there is a lot of chat that the Roosters and Manly want to push the other franchises out and go back for second helping.
Can I be as bold as say, Chris, that for every mascot, there's a mascot in every country?
Yes.
I'm sure there's a dragon over there somewhere. I'm sure there's a tiger over there somewhere. Can I also say that we must eat
I bet you there's not an eel, though. I think that's pretty...
Oh, rabbit-o.
Yeah.
Not a rabbit-o either. Yeah, okay. You got me there, Chris. Look, we must be chastised, and I want to eat some humble pie myself because we really did lay down hard on the Roosters getting over there in the Dreamliner.
Yes.
Going to Avra, the Beverly Wilshire Hotel, the lap of luxury.
UCLA training facilities.
Yeah, and guess what? They won.
They look magnificent.
They look magnificent.
They
fresh,
look sharp.
Ready
they're
to
fresh.
Go. Yeah.
But, I mean, I put it down entirely to the Dreamliner, Steve. And the other three teams look... And again...
And each seat had a special person attending, didn't they?
That's right.
Whatever their needs were.
Valet.
Valet, exactly.
Yeah. Look,
concierge.
Again, they're award-winning. Fiji Airways, fantastic company, wonderful people.
Yep.
But the other teams, I mean, the Broncos in particular, they looked exhausted, bedraggled.
Confused.
Yeah, like they had their knees past 90 degrees in the seats on the way over.
And what were the pink straps around Reese Bieber's feet?
Well, they didn't last too long.
They didn't last long, did they?
That's right.
Were they Velcroed, were they?
I mean, I think he was bored on the plane. He was sort of, you know, sometimes people like to doodle or...
Was it like a friendship bracelet?
Paint their nails. I think it was very much he goes, well, I'll get on the Taylor bandwagon
and
have the pink straps of Reese Walsh.
Right.
And that faded pretty quickly, as did his game.
Yes.
And I think if United Airways should be pushing this Dreamliner thing for all it's worth.
Yes.
Speaking of which...
Look what it did for the Roosters on the side.
Well, obviously, Teddy Tedesco was imperious.
Yes.
Like, unbelievable. He caught everything.
Yes.
And certainly wouldn't catch a cold in the humidified, controlled environment in the Dreamliner.
Bit of coughing going on, though, but, you know.
the one Rooster who was late, of course, was Joey Manu.
Right.
Because
is every rugby league player having a baby right now? Is that what's happening? I mean, Nathan Brown, I think, nearly missed his birth.
Child. The deal with Manu and... one of my contacts in Venues New South Wales, who won't be named, Stephen, we know who he is. He was flying on the plane over to Vegas, up the pointy end, as he pointed out. And when the screens went down as they touched down in Los Angeles, LAX, it was Joey Manu sitting next to him.
Oh.
And the deal had
didn't
been...
Didn't know the whole way.
No.
Couldn't smell the brilliance and the excellence. The specialness.
The humility. The modesty screen was up. Yeah. And let's face it...
Did they not have a team perfume?
Yeah, well, I also want to say, my Venues New South Wales contact, he does drink a lot. So...
No names needed.
He says, I'm staying in the Cosmopolitan. He orders a Cosmopolitan as he gets on the plane and then he just goes out at David Boone style, right? But through the
Who
haze...
Who now regrets it.
That's right, exactly. 30 years on.
Yeah.
How many sports people's lunches has he told the story?
Oh, my God. Let's get him into that one again.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, we go, chug.
Boone goes, I'll appear for $5,000 if you want me to tell you the beer story. It's $10,000.
Right? Yes.
and through the haze, he said, Joey, how are you? And, of course, Joey was in two minds because he'd made a deal. If the young baby had not arrived by the Saturday, he wasn't flying.
Oh.
And it was revealed today that, in fact, the baby did arrive by the Saturday.
Okay.
But Robbo forced him to get on the plane.
Did he? Is this also how he's deciding whether to go to rugby union or not?
Well, this is the trigger point. I mean... We're going to have a look at Trent Robinson in a little bit of detail right now. But, I mean, the man has just had a child.
Yes.
And Trent goes, mate, where do your allegiance lie? No wonder he wants to go to the anonymity of Japan or France to play rugby union. Because, let's face it, when you play rugby union, you guarantee anonymity.
Yes. Guarantee. Allegiance. And the stadium. Allegiant. Hey, just hit me. Now... That wasn't the real reason the Roosters won, was it?
No, had nothing to do with the Dreamliner.
Nothing at all to do with the Dreamliner. Nothing at all to do with the fancy Greek meal at Avra.
No.
And the hospitality at the Beverly Wilshire.
No.
I've enjoyed that myself over the years. It was due to something special that Robbo, every year, Robbo is a master of techniques and tricks and of the trade as a coach to get his team back on board again. Because let's face it, you've got to do it year in, year out. The same things apply. New players, new rules occasion, but essentially we've been there, done that. What's going to make a team special, Chris? What did he do this year?
So, and by the way, Bradley Charles Stubbs, the coach whisperer, was over there, Stephen. So I think
Charles Stubbs was over there. Is he a gambler?
I wouldn't know.
No.
But he's a 1% man.
But you've got a photo of him around the tables, haven't you, with a couple of ladies.
Hard not to be around the tables,
yes,
Stephen.
That's right.
And he's a 1% man, and Robbo's looking for the 1%ers, and he goes, okay, what can I extract from Las Vegas that will create the difference? Now, Herald journo Michael Shamus was, I think, off to a basketball game and had tickets to a Vegas show, and Polita said, nut, you're coming to Avra.
He got hooked.
Yep, yeah. Off to Avra and then down to the UCLA training, Stephen.
Yes.
And he's there observing the Roosters going through their paces. Right. And then all of a sudden, through the megaphone, Robbo goes, dial in.
What is that again?
Dial in.
And suddenly, their eyes start to roll a little bit. All the players stand upright, straight. They'll form a formation line like they're straight off the plant. And they dial in.
And they, ironically, are told to put their phones on airplane mode, which they automatically do, if that's the right word.
So as they're standing upright, their eyes are straight ahead, they pull the phone out and it goes airplane mode, boom, okay.
And then, bang, Roosters training is on.
Yeah.
They are servile.
Yes.
They are focused.
Yeah. They're hot.
They're unquestioning.
Yes.
And they're compliant.
Right.
They're hypnotised.
They're hypnotised, eh? And they're going to Vegas.
Yes.
That's probably a very good trick to use, not to get hypnotized by, you know, the roulette wheels and the Elvis Presley performances and the colored lights and the Bellagio fountain of whatever. I mean, that's a place you really got to protect your mind against. And Bradley Charles Stubbs, was he involved with this?
I just said he just provides the framework to find the 1%ers.
Okay.
Most people go on fact-finding trips to look at training facilities, recovery protocols. Yes. Mind coaches and things like that. Robbo went over to Vegas last year and went to every hypnotism show that was on in Vegas.
And how did he test it? He got all the showgirls from all the shows to parade themselves in front of the Roosters. The Roosters didn't even blink.
Well, no, they're focused. They're dialed in. Yeah, they're dialed in.
Okay. This reminds me of something, Chris. Is it Scientology? Do they do something similar? Do they have words like this to trigger you? Or Maxwell Smart? Chaos.
Well, remember the groovy guru. Right? And they spin the wheel and the pop music, and suddenly they're hypnotized. Robbo's drinking that all in. He went to the well of the great Australian hypnotist, Stephen.
Yes.
Martin St. James, no longer with us.
No, but it was his son, I think, wasn't it? Carrying the tradition.
Is that right? Beautiful.
Yeah, you may remember Iggy Pop famously.
Yes.
That's like hypnotizing chickens. Famously, he saw this coming. He did.
Well, this is
that in some weird sin, I think.
You've got to credit to Robbo, because Billy Slater, and we covered this in the summer special, says, I only got to understand coaching when I realised I had to think like a horse.
Right. Be the animal.
But Robbo goes, hang on, we're roosters.
Yeah.
We need to think like chickens.
Chickens, yeah.
So therefore...
Chickens are very good at being hypnotised, apparently.
And at all.
Is it a watch, Chris? Is it? Or a light? I don't know.
So Robbo, by seeing people like Keith Lapine at the Four Queens Canyon Club
in
Las
Vegas... Did Mandrake make an appearance?
Yeah. he said, I'm... appropriating these techniques for two reasons. One, to train the Roosters.
Yeah, yeah.
Secondly, for some personal reasons.
Yeah.
So when Shamus turned up at UCLA and the Roosters were going through their warm-up paces, right? They're chatting, whatever.
Suddenly.
Dial in. Phones on automatic. Yeah. And then their warm-up routine became the Roosters all flapping their arms, clucking.
Yeah.
Classic hypnotism routine, warming up for the real deal.
Chris, what you didn't see too, Nick Politis up the back there, you might have seen Get Smart, Simon the Likeable.
Yes.
Little glint in the teeth. Yeah. They just look at Nick once after the word dial in, because that's the second phase.
Right.
Boom.
That's the deep trance.
That's the deep trance.
It's dial in, Politis.
Total obedience.
And they were robotic, sharp, clinical, executed at a high level. Stephen, the Manu flick pass.
Yes.
He can't do that naturally. That is mind control.
Except for one man, Spencer Lanier.
Well, new now, kid on the block.
Can I just say, last week I was watching the ABC News every night at 7 o'clock. Not once did they talk about the Vegas trip and the whole idea of this, one of our great codes, if not our most successful on television, going to America and spending a lot of money to make a launch. No, 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 no. But what do they leave with on the first day after? First story, racial slur. First story on the ABC. Don't you love that?
Well, this is, I guess, it's not the glory of rugby league, Stephen. It's the reality of rugby league. It always carries a loaded shotgun aimed at both its feet at all times. And on the grandest stage of all, for the greatest promotion in the history of rugby league, the return of Paul Kent to rugby league television.
That's right.
Spencer Leno allegedly has gone off script. And this is, of course, Stephen, more evidence of something.
Well, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to tell you. But
I'll tell you what it is.
Spencer to Ezra. That sounds like Gone with the Wind material to me. Spencer and Ezra.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what it's evidence. Well, what's happened? What's essentially happened?
Well, Ezra was heard to say, he called me a monkey.
Right.
Right. Now, that's deeply offensive.
There's just no place for it in our game, Stephen.
Spencer said it was all fun and games, and you know where I am later if you need me. He didn't think it was offensive.
Which turned out to be in the corridor at Resorts World.
That's right, a bit of argy-bargy.
There was some more argy-bargy.
Thank you, Rugby League.
Look, to be honest, I hope they throw several books, not just the Book of Feuds.
He's been charged, hasn't he?
If proven.
Yes.
They have to assemble a crack international panel to solve this one.
What will Robbo say about this particular man?
Well, you know, Robbo said it's just because it's been alleged doesn't make it right, and he's copped a bit of criticism for that. I think it was slightly inelegant, but I understand what he's saying.
But is it also, he's not really one of us yet?
Well, you don't wonder. Surely they wouldn't run the Penrith defence, would they?
He brought that, did he, from their culture to our culture.
But, Stephen, I know you're a deeply superstitious person.
Yes.
And this, to me, is more evidence of what I've been referring to as the curse of the Nevada Four.
Ah, yes.
The four players that were sent to promote our game in the initial incursions into
they go on the day,
Nevada
Chris?
Precinct. Campbell Graham.
Yes, how'd he go?
Can't play.
Oh, can't
Busted
play.
Sternum.
Okay.
Aaron Woods from Manly
didn't play.
Play. Not selected.
Hooked.
Spencer Leno from the Roosters won't be playing for a long time. At least the last person standing is Billy Walters.
I'm sure next year when they say we need four mascots, well, not mascots, ambassadors, they won't stop them. They'll all put their hand up, right?
And it goes broader because you know historically the curse of the player that would be featured in the NRL preseason ad. Yeah. Something would always go wrong, be it Brett Stewart, Benji Marshall, et cetera, et cetera. Don't do it. Don't take the gig.
And it gets even more complicated for outsiders to go, okay, you're on the field, you're Samoan by heritage, he's Indigenous, and you're going to say that to him? What's the story there? But I think he was trying to get under his skin, Chris.
Yeah, I think all that ethnicity is just relevant. It's just a heinous term.
Is it a reaction to dial in?
Well, no. I just think that Spencer didn't focus.
Right, and guess what? Lieutenant Kendall Bell, who was there to solve all problems, can't solve on-field problems, can he?
That's right. He's brief.
I can't step on that ground.
Off the field.
Off the
right?
field.
And if it's just ludicrous chain smokers in a bar, that'd be it.
Rightio.
So I want to wrap up the experience, Stephen, given that we were both not there.
Yeah.
I think the guy who's come out of this smelling like roses is Buzz Rothfield. Apparently, he was a fan favourite at the Fremont Street Experience. They were chanting his name. He was riding stretch hummers with Braith and Asta.
Imagine the shits that Paul Kemp be feeling about that.
That's right. Because he's the people's champion, Stephen. Yeah. And he had two incredible... You know, what you want from your reporters is insight, cutting-edge journalism, pushing the envelope.
Yeah, I've got you.
Buzz ran two quotes from random Americans he spoke to at Allegiant Stadium. Well, can I give them to you?
Shock me, Chris.
Man, these guys are crazy. And wow, how tough are these dudes?
Wow.
I just have a feeling Buzz might have written those quotes before the game.
Oh, you mean they weren't actual voices?
No, just quotes. No, but yes, I should confirm that's not audio.
Unnamed fan.
That's right.
American fan, you know. Yeah.
But in the end, there is one man who stands triumphant, Stephen. Of course, no bigger fan of the Dark Overlord, Peter Volandis, myself, and I believe you.
Yes.
And what I loved about this, he wasn't just setting up our game for its future, Stephen, as it becomes simply wagering content in their minds of Americans in Nebraska and Arkansas and Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
He needs a post-career after it all finishes with rugby league and racing. Robbo, despite Nick Politis guaranteeing Robbo will be here many years after I've gone, because we're going to be the Manchester United of rugby league, who aren't doing that well at the moment. They're going to do a show. Yeah. Robbo will be the hypnotism.
Yeah.
And Peter Volandis will be the stand-up comedian at the Flamingo Hilton with quality content like this, Stephen.
Okay.
What about next year? There'll be teams sitting back at home now just going, I want to be part of it. How do we get the four teams or six teams of your son a triple header? How do they put an application through? Yeah. How does it all work?
Is it a
ballot?
Can we get some more Westie teams?
No, they're called brown paper bags.
Just please explain yourself on that.
You know about brown paper bags more than anyone.
Hey, you're our guest.
No, Peter, they only go those brown paper bags to the good
and
players.
And there's not sandwiches in them either.
Creativity's gone to a new level. You obviously get that from your mother, because I don't really have any. It's a good honour. I think actually if I married someone else, like not someone not as good as your mother, you would have been a pretty shit player. So that's good news. Yeah. Nah, I'm only kidding. I'm not a comedian, but I thought I was trying to make it light-hearted.
Tell me that wasn't canned, Chris. Tell me it wasn't. I want to have some faith in rugby league. Come on.
There's your undercard. I mean, headlined by Trent Robinson, the hypnotist, and Peter Volandis is the main comic. You'll have Ivan Cleary on the undercard, Stephen.
Yeah.
That came from the presentation of the jerseys in the lead up to last year's grand final on episode 3 of Undisputed, Stephen.
I must watch that.
Get on 9 now. Yeah. I mean, we're talking Logie.
Yes.
And last week we heard about Ivan Cleary, how he communicates so effectively with players. He's also a man of the people and he's funny.
Dead set funny. If Daly Terry Evans is not the new Beckham, could our young Nathan be the new Beckham?
I was going to say
he's got the ideal girlfriend for that, hasn't he?
Well, true. Mary Fowler, the most influential, voted by the Murdoch Press as the most influential female in Australian sport right now.
That's right. We heard about the news of Sam Kerr this morning.
It's just getting
go there.
It's getting so complicated.
I know.
But I would have argued if DC is just to Beckham, then surely Ivan Cleary is to Ricky Gervais.
All right. Okay. I feel the Roosters are missing out there. Look, be careful when you step out of showers, Chris. look on the ground. See if there's any soap there or soapy water, right? Cam Munster had a bad year last year, and this is a brand new start for the year. And what's he do?
Okay, well, he's got what we all thought was a calf injury.
Yes,
right. That was
in the shower
originally had that he exacerbated by slipping in the shower.
Yeah. I heard he was walking out of the shower and slipped when he stepped out.
Yeah, so it's been revealed today.
Today
that in fact he was stepping out of the shower, mm-hmm. did the splits, and he goes, how could I aggravate a calf doing that? It was, of course, the groin.
Yes, right.
And he already had a bit of osteopubis going on.
Apparently you've got a left groin and a right groin.
Yes.
I think it was the right groin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the moment, I feel like I've got a middle groin, but anyway.
And who found him there?
Oh, Harry Grant.
In pain, wailing on the ground, wet like a fish.
This is what
Can you imagine that, Cameron Musser? What a sight that would be.
If Kendall Bell had a roving commission to look after all 40-odd players.
Lieutenant Dibble, get on over.
Your number nine is wide to every player, connected, if you like, and is there to give them service when they need it. The interesting thing about this injury, Stephen, of course, is it echoes what happened to Tom Trbojevic, who did his hamstring not sprinting down the Corso at Manly, but slipped in the shower.
Now, wasn't that the first thing everybody asked him in Las Vegas?
Yes.
Run down the strip.
Are you going to take anyone down the strip? Right. And so, I mean, obviously our thoughts and prayers go out to Cameron Munster.
Yes, yes.
But it just has this slight feeling to me that in the future, whether you're facing the music as Spencer might be very, very soon, that the new classic rugby league defence will be, but Your Honour, I slipped in the shower.
Yeah. And then you look at the Your Honour and you go, dial in.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!